All right, if you would, let's begin this morning. There's two passages of Scripture I want us to look at. One is in Proverbs, the 29th chapter of Proverbs. We're going to start there. And then we're going to go to Joshua, the 14th chapter. I want to talk a little bit about 2020 vision. And you know, you've been hearing people use that phrase a lot, but there is a great deal of truth and importance in us having vision for our life. God wants us and I think encourages us to seek Him, to relate to Him in a way that He can impart to us what He desires for us in our lives in the days ahead. That there is a purpose, there is a plan that He is at work fulfilling within us. And He wants us to know in some respect what that is and us to be focused on an end goal in areas of our lives. And then He would love to also work with us, imparting to us steps to get there. And we'll see that in the Scripture this morning and in the next week, talk about some of the things and why it's so important for this to be a part of our lives as we walk with God. But vision is so vital. And in Proverbs 29, verse 18, the writer says, where there is no vision, or literally where there is no divine given vision, something from God that has been given. Some translations have it to do with the prophetic utterance being given, but that is what a prophetic utterance, always a prophet is providing God's future vision for what He desires for His people. So the writer says, where there is no divine vision, the people cast off restraint. Basically, people are living aimlessly. They're just kind of meandering through life, simply existing. And then the idea is that they begin to follow and pursue paths that are not God's best for them, because they've just cast off restraint. There's no guiding directive, no guiding vision for them. And he says that there is no restraint. They cast them off. But blessed is the one who keeps His commandments, His Torah, His law. Blessed is the one who follows God. And the idea there is that the vision that's being given from God is in harmony with or based upon His will as it's revealed in His Word. So as I'm doing that and following God's will and His Word in my life to fulfill this vision that He has for me, I'm living in a way that's kind of streamlined, and I'm not just meandering aimlessly, wandering through life, which in doing that, when there is no restraint and you're living that way, you open yourself up to and you become vulnerable to all kinds of pitfalls, all kinds of plots, all kinds of plans of the enemy and his schemes to lead you to destruction. And ultimately, that's what the writer is telling us here. So where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. There is no restraint. Some translations say the people perish. And the idea is that when you are casting off restraint and going your own way, you end up perishing. You end up living aimlessly and it leads to ruin in your life. So God wants us to have vision for our life. Now, I know most of us sitting here today, we think, oh, well, you know, that has to do more with people that are younger and people that you know, still have their whole life in front of them and all of that. Well, that is not the teaching of Scripture whatsoever. In fact, when you look at the people in Scripture that had sometimes a clearer vision for their life and were seeking God for vision, it was people that were not only many of your ages in here, but older than you. Still seeking God for His direction and vision for their life in the areas of their life. And a good example of that is in Joshua 14. So let's look over there. Joshua the 14th chapter. And here's a man who, at the age what he was at, you would think, okay, this guy's not only past retirement age, he's well beyond that. He ought to be kicking back in a rocking chair, sitting on a front porch, enjoying the fruit of his labors and just, you know, living life out in just great repose and calm and quiet. And that was not the case with this man, Caleb. Here when they enter into the land, he comes to Joshua in verse 6. It says, "And the children of Judah approached Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, 'You know the word that Jehovah has spoken to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea concerning me and you. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of Jehovah, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him back word as was in my heart. Nevertheless, my fellows that went up with me made the heart of the people melt with fear, but I fully followed Jehovah my God.' So Moses swore on that day, saying, 'Surely the land on which your foot has trodden will be an inheritance to you and to your children forever, because you have fully followed Jehovah my God. So now behold, Jehovah has kept me alive, just as he said, these 45 years since the time that Jehovah spoke this word to Moses while Israel was journeying in the wilderness. And now behold, I'm 85 years old today. I am still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so is my strength now for war and for going out and coming in. Now therefore, give me this hill country. Give me these mountains about which Jehovah spoke on that day. For you heard on that day how the Anakim were there, as well as great fortified cities. Perhaps Jehovah will be with me and I will drive them out, just as Jehovah has spoken.'" 85-year-old man. This is a man who's saying, "Look, I don't know how much longer I've got basically in this world, but God promised me something. This hill country, basically, which is in the area of Hebron and so forth. And he says, I want what God promised. And I know there are still Anakim in that area. And I'm willing to fight. I'm willing to go to war. And God giving me favor, I'm going to drive them out. But I'm not going to spend the rest of my life twiddling my thumbs, sitting on my laurels, twiddling my thumbs, looking at sunrises and sunsets and thinking about the good old days. Whatever life I have left, I am going to live it. And I am going to make the most of every moment that God has given to me. I have a vision. Give me this mountain." And there were things that he wanted to do and things that he wanted to accomplish, which was out in front of him, even at the age of 85. Now, we look at that and say, well, that was in Bible times. People were, you know, stronger and a little bit better off than we were, you know, at this time and age at 85 years old. No, they weren't. No, they weren't. I mean, these people didn't have all the modern conveniences that we have to help keep us healthy and strong and all of those things and vibrant and alive. And when you look in the scripture, and we'll see many of these instances, some of these people, they were not able maybe to get out and do like they may have been at one time, but they still did not stop asking God for a vision for their life. They had to have a reason to live. And God wanted to give them that reason. He wanted to give them that purpose, which would be revealed in a vision. For without it, as we saw in Proverbs, you cast off restraint. And you simply wander aimlessly in life. Vision is vital. Now, when you talk about what are we talking about, vision. And again, when we look in the book of Proverbs and we see it in other instances in the scripture, the idea is that you have a point, you have a place, a direction that you see in your life that you want to go, or a place you want to be that is out there in front of you. It is a clear picture in your mind of an outcome, of an end goal, of a desire that is going to be fulfilled, a result that you want to see achieved in your life. And it's something that you can clearly see in your mind. Now, here's the thing. Whether you realize it or not, you are living your life every day according to a vision. That vision can either be a positive vision or a negative one. Most people live their lives according to a negative vision. A negative vision being one that doesn't have God's outcome for you. One that is influenced and affected by negative thinking in our minds. And we see ourselves living according to the negative thoughts we've got inside of us, which is going to produce a certain result in our life. Because remember, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And if you see only bad, only dreary, only negativity, only how worse it can get, only those things out in front of you, guess what result you're going to get? You're going to get those results. And life is going to play out for you just according to those lines. And you're going to be living your life, like the writer of Proverbs says, without restraint, without the boundaries, and just aimlessly wandering, very vulnerable then to the attacks of the evil one to take you out of the journey. People sometimes get confused about mission and vision. But you see, mission is what you do. It's what you're doing in the process of fulfilling the vision. Vision has to do with where you're going and seeing that clearly in your heart and in your mind. And you will be and you will go where you think or what you see in your heart and in your mind, that end result. That's where you're going. What you have in your heart's and mind's eye, because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. This isn't something that's unique to us. God Himself operates with vision. It's what God does. When God created everything, He didn't create it twiddling His thumbs saying, I wonder now what I'm going to do with all this. I've made it now. Heck, what am I going to do with it? No. Before it was even birthed out of His heart, He already knew there was an end goal in mind for this creation that He was making, something that He desired for it in ultimate end. So when He created the whole of the cosmos, space and time and everything in it, He had an end goal and a desire that He was moving everything toward when He made it. When the Father, Jesus came into this world and the Father gave His Son, He entered into this world with a vision. There was an end result. There was something for which He had come. Jesus said, for this purpose came I into the world. He gave Himself. God gave His Son, His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. There was a vision there, and Jesus operated according to this vision. The Father, He described it as the Father's will for His life. And to fulfill that, even when He was tempted in the garden to do what the writer of Proverbs says, cast off restraint and not live according to the vision of the Father, He didn't do that. He had that one goal, that one ultimate end kept in front of Him. And He said, not my will, but yours be done. He saw and knew the cross and what was beyond the cross out in front of Him. Who for the glory set before Him, the writer says, endured the cross, despising the shame. But notice how he prefaced that. For the glory set before Him. The vision. When God created you and He created His people, He has a vision and a desire for you. I mean, think about it. Look at the people God worked with in Scripture. Abraham, for example. Abraham, I'm going to take you and I'm going to bless the whole world through your seed. And God initializes this and says, you're going to be mine and this is what I'm going to do with you. But then, all right, so He's already planted the seed of this vision that the whole world is going to be blessed through your seed. And then one night He takes Abraham out and He says, look up in the sky. Look at the stars and see if you can count them. And Abraham's standing there looking and God says, so shall your seed be. What is God doing? He's putting the vision in his heart. He's giving him something and an end goal toward which he is moving. There are going to be a lot of things that are going to be happening along the way to achieve that in this journey, but don't lose sight of my vision for you. Joseph, as a young man, what does he do? He has dreams. He has dreams of his brothers bowing down before him. He didn't understand what was God doing then. He was planting a vision in this boy's heart for his ultimate desire for him in life and where he was going to place him and what he was going to do. Joseph never forgot those dreams. He understood they were divine revelations from God about God's vision for Joseph's life. And then as things unfolded, being betrayed by his brothers, sold into slavery, sent to Potiphar's house, lied about trying to assault and rape Potiphar's wife, thrown back into prison, until ultimately he's led out to interpret the dreams of Pharaoh, which then raised him up to the right hand of Pharaoh, literally greater than Pharaoh in some sense over all of Egypt, the one of the most the powerful men in the whole world, known world at that time. Through all of that, Joseph never forgot those dreams. Because Joseph would reiterate to his brothers when he met them and revealed himself to them how that God worked all of this out. You meant it for evil. God meant it for good. Because Joseph never lost sight of the vision God placed in his heart. God placed vision in Joshua's heart. God placed vision when he gets to the prophets. When God was revealing the things that you read about in Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and these other guys, what is God doing? He's saying, here's the desired outcome and an end. There are going to be things that are going to be happening in the process, but here's where things are going, and you've got to let my people know so they can get focused on the vision out in front of them. My intended end. God operates according to vision. God does not want me or you, whether we are tiny or 90, walking through life aimlessly, just existing, wondering how we're going to make it through the day. And just wandering and just, you know, living. He wants us to have a life that is focused. A life that is focused on His vision for us. And where He is moving us and what He's moving us toward. And when you think about your own personal life. And it's always a time when we start a new year and we begin to reflect on the past year. And then obviously what's out in front of us. But have you stopped to think about where do you want to be a year from now? Most of us don't really sit and consider those kinds of things, but they're important. It's important for us to regularly sit down and take stock of our life on the inside, of our life as we have it around us, and then think about, okay, where would I like to be a year from now? Better yet, God, where would you like me to be a year from now? And then begin to look at my life in the different areas of my life. Where do I want to be in my life spiritually a year from now? What would that look like? Where do I want my life to be at physically, in my own physical health? Now, I understand there are sometimes extenuating circumstances that we have absolutely no control over, but that still doesn't stop us from doing things. Whether it's in the way we eat, how we are sleeping patterns, how we take care of ourselves physically, where would we like to see ourselves physically and as far as our health a year from now? How about financially? What would you like to be happening financially in your life? What do you think God would like for you to be thinking about as to what He may want to do in your finances a year from now? How about relationally? If you're married, what about your marriage relationship? If you're single, how would you like to have a relationship? If you're an older parent, you still have children or grandchildren, how do you want those relationships to look? How do you want relationships around you with people outside the scope just of your family? What does your life look like relationally with others? Even vocationally. Maybe there's something that God wants you to do vocationally. Something that He may say, hey, right now, I'm wanting you to shift gears and move in this other stream. Something I want you to do. Something I would love for you to pursue in life. Or even locationally. What if God wants you to pack up and move somewhere? Because He's got something over there that He wants you to do. Because there's, who knows, there's one person that ultimately is going to impact thousands of people that He just wants you to touch that one life. And moving you sometimes all the way around the other side of the world to do it. But you see, a lot of times we don't stop and ask these questions and think about, where do I want to be? What do I want my life to look like a year from now? And when I say, what do I want that to look like, I'm saying it with the understanding that I'm saying, God, I want you to show me, what would you love to do in my life? What would you like to see accomplished? And then if you begin to think through these things, you have to ask this question, okay, in my spiritual life, obviously the ultimate goal, ultimate vision that God has for us is to be like who? Jesus. So then I have to ask the question, okay, God, how do I get there? What practices, what things do I need to incorporate into my life or extract from my life, remove from my life to help me get to that point? And if I'm looking at my spiritual journey, then I have to say, okay, how much do I want to begin to focus on an area of spirituality in my life that I need to work on? Maybe it might be the area of prayer. Okay, and I want my life in prayer. I want to be able to spend more concentrated time each day in prayer. So I say, okay, if I've been in the last year, I find myself 15 minutes. Well, you know, I'd like to be able to spend 30 minutes a day in prayer. And those 30 minutes may not have to be consecutive minutes, but maybe I'll look down and see how I can plot my day out. And I'll have a 10-minute segment here and a 10-minute segment here and a 10-minute segment here. And I'll have doubled my time spending in prayer with God, concentrated, focused prayer with God than I did this last year. That's going to be a positive, beneficial act in my life that'll help me become more like Jesus. Or maybe there are other practices. Maybe it's in my time of studying the scripture. Or maybe there are areas of study that I would like to look at and involve myself in and begin to soak my life in, and maybe particular areas of spiritual growth that I want to study about over the next year to help me along this journey. How are you going to get to where you want to go? And that means you have to take and make a plan to get there. You sit down and you plot it out. I mean, when God said to Abraham, I'm sending you to a country. Now, Abraham didn't know where he was going, but each day he had to get up and plot how far they were going to try to go that day. What were their provisions going to be needed that day to get there? What were the routes they were going to take, or the possible problems they could involve and meet along the way? They had to sit down and consider all of those things. They didn't just wander out there and say, okay, here we go, out we go, without any plotting, planning, or thinking. When Caleb was going to take and be given what he was going to be given by God there in the hill country, he understood. He already said the Anakim are there, so he knows I've got to go in prepared. I've got to begin to make plans on this journey. I've got to begin to make plans on how I'm going to get there, what I'm going to do. I've got a particular, I got families that are depending upon me. How am I going to provide for them and take care of them? Each day that required planning. And you pray as you plan, and you plan as you pray. But you say, how am I going to get from point A to point B? Same thing, whether it's in your finances. You want to see your finances increased. You want to see your finances channeled in different areas. You say, oh, you know what? This year, when I look back at my income, I gave a certain amount of percent to the things of God. I'd like to increase that this year. I'd like to increase it. Maybe it was 10%. I'd like to increase it to 15 or 20% of what God blesses me with. I want to trust you, God, to bless me. And the Lord may tell you, you know, God may say, look, this past year you've done this, and maybe your money's been channeled in this direction. I'd like for you to channel it over here now. And there's some people I want you to bless with your finances over here, because I want to bless you so you can bless them. And so he begins to speak to us. So you have to plot out a plan of how you're going to get there, whether it's in your relationships. I mean, look, If you're married, you say, okay, I want my relationship to be better and stronger and healthier. Then you say, how's that going to happen? Well, that means I'm going to have to do this, 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 and this. And I begin to think through, what can I do? Or what do I need to stop doing that's going to enhance my relationship? Not only with marriage, with my children or my grandchildren or my friends. What am I going to do to see this accomplished? And how am I going to get from point A to point B? The scripture tells us, obviously, yes, we walk by faith alone. But as the theologians say, we walk by faith alone, but not by a faith that is alone. You walk by faith, but you also put effort in to accomplish the end goal of where you are going, what God wants you to do. You and I have to be proactive in this process. And again, for a lot of people, quite honestly, most people, most of the time, and sadly and tragically in the church, are just too stinking lazy to sit down and begin to think through these things. They're just too lazy. And which is a sad thing, because the sad part is they're missing out on potential wonderful, miraculous things in their life that God may want to be doing that they're just too lazy to pursue God and ask Him about. And again, nobody Nobody can give the excuse, I'm too old, I'm not healthy. You know, God doesn't need you to be at 100% peak health to accomplish a vision through your life. He doesn't need that. I mean, when you look in the scripture at Jesus, when he was brought to the temple as a baby, and you have Anna, who's there in the temple as a prophetess, she is a widow. She is elderly. She can't physically get out and do a lot of things, but she understood God's vision for her life, and she was sitting there in that temple day in and day out praying. Praying, because that's what she knew God wanted her to do with her life. And in so doing, she was one of the first ones to lay eyes on the Messiah. She was where God wanted her to be. Now, what if she'd have sat and thought, you know what? I'm going to sit here in my little clay home because I just don't feel too good today to go to the temple to pray. I don't even know what God's got me here for anymore. No. She made her way there daily. Lived probably in proximity, made sure that she could locationally living close enough to get to where she needed to go to the temple to do what she knew God wanted for her. Until we breathe our last breath, God's vision holds true for our life. Period. What he wants us to accomplish. And until then, it ain't up. It ain't over. So we have to think through, how am I going to get to where I want to go? And we have to be proactive. We have to think about practices that we're going to incorporate into our lives to help us achieve those things. How and when will we begin to establish those practices? I know a lot of people, I've sat down with friends of mine before, and they, the whole thing is just like my daughter Rachel, she out in Utah, she works with a gym there. And now's the big blow up. Everybody's joining the gym because everybody's got the New Year's resolution. They're going to get fit and trim and healthy and all that. And then she was telling us the other day, she said, about 3 weeks from now, we're going to start getting calls. I'd like to cancel my membership. I'm not able to go as often as I thought I would be able to go. See, a lot of people will sit down and they'll begin to think through these things, but then they don't ever want to put any feet to doing it. They don't want to commit themselves to finishing out what commitments they put down. They don't want to see it all the way to the end and establish practices that will transform their life and see them fulfill God's vision for them. Now, here's the thing. Along the journey, in this next year, troubles and difficulties are going to come. You don't make a plan as you plan it, trying to figure out what troubles or difficulties are going to come, because you don't know. Most of us sitting in here this morning had no idea a year ago we'd be sitting where we are right now with what our life would look like. People that are either present or not present. Health that it was there is not there. Finances that looked a certain way then look a certain way now. Relationships that we had that have the dynamics have changed. We couldn't foresee some of the valleys we would go through. We couldn't foresee some of the twists and turns in the road. We didn't know. But here's the thing. When you have a vision out in front of you, when those times come, that vision will help you navigate through that. Because you won't lose sight, even though, as David talked about, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. David had a vision of on the other side. This is a part of my life. I'm going to go through this time. It's part of my existence. But I'm not losing sight of what God has called me to do, what God has wants me to do, what his vision is for my life. And the thing about it is, when you've got that vision out in front of you, it keeps you focused. It helps you navigate through that time. Man, Abraham, God told him he was going to do all these things. He had no idea that, you know, his nephew was going to go down to Sodom and Gomorrah. He's going to have to go down and rescue that. That, you know, that his wife was going to give him her handmaid and that all of a sudden he's going to end up with an Ishmael. He had no idea that, there were going to be struggles and trials and difficulties and decisions he was going to have to make along the way when God first gave him this initial vision to look at what the stars are out and see if you can count them. He didn't know that, but he never lost sight. He never lost sight in his heart of what was out there, what God had called him to do. The writer of Hebrews in Hebrews 11:8 says that they pursued and they walked on in their life because they had a vision. They were looking for a city. They were looking at God's ultimate end whose builder and maker was God. They didn't lose heart in the midst of everything they went through. Moses was told, here's my vision, take my people to the promised land. But he was not told by God all the twists and turns and the way that it was going to take to get there. But he never lost sight of the ultimate goal. Paul looked and he said, look, I've got my eye fixed on the prize. I know I have a vision for my life of what God has for me out there. And it's across that finish line. And even though he didn't know that along the way there was going to be stonings, whippings, beatings, shipwrecks, people who were going to betray him, jail time. He had no idea of all that stuff, but he never lost sight. And here's the thing. Sometimes when we go through these difficult times along the journey, sometimes it's in those moments that God begins to speak to us and all of a sudden things begin to rise up in our life that we're thinking, man, I didn't know that was in my heart. I didn't know I thought that way. And what God is doing is through the difficulty and through the pressure is exposing something that he wants to remove, because the removing of that is going to be absolutely vital in us ultimately fulfilling the vision out here. That if this thing isn't taken out, it is going to trip you up and be an Achilles heel for you to fulfill what I've got for you to do. So we've got to get it out. And in the midst of trials and difficulty, he's pointing these things out to us and showing us these things. Sometimes in the midst of those difficult journeys, in the midst of the heartaches and problems that we encounter along the way, it helps us to get even more intensely focused on the vision that God has for us, reminding us of why am I here? What am I going after? So don't think that just because you sat down and you say, God, give me a vision for these areas of my life this year, that everything's just going to be smooth sailing. Because I will tell you for sure, without a doubt at all, the enemy of our souls does not want you to even ask that question of God. He doesn't. He would rather you live your life without restraint. He would rather you live your life without any kind of understanding of God's vision for you. He wants you to live that way. Because when you're living that way, you are not a threat to him at all. He will leave you alone. In fact, even from an enemy standpoint, make sure that life goes just as smooth as it can for you. Because as long as you're not pursuing what God's best and vision is for you, you're no threat to him at all. So don't expect it to be an easy journey. Caleb didn't. Caleb knew there were Anakim giants as an 85-year-old man. He said, I'm just as strong and ready to fight right now as I was when I was 40. And I'm ready to do it right now to experience what God has given to me, what God's vision is for me that he told me about 45 years ago. I'm ready for it. So don't expect there to be difficulties. There'll be adjustments. There'll be strengthening. There'll be encouraging. Here's the thing that you need to know. Remember this. In the pursuing of a vision in your life in these different areas, God is for you. He is for you. You think, well, you know, I want to spend an extra amount of time in prayer each day. That would mean I need to get up 10 minutes earlier than I do. You might be surprised that God will help you, okay, help you wake up, be a little bit more alert, just that 10-minute time. He's for you. He's for you in your finances. He's for you in your relationships. He's for you in your vocations. He's for you in where he wants you to live. He's for you in these things. He is supporting you. And all of the resources of heaven are available to you and behind you to make and help you succeed. He doesn't want you to fail. He doesn't want you to miss his best. He is for you completely. He's not going to leave you out there to meander along this journey by yourself. He goes before you. He is beside you. He is behind you, above and beneath you, to help you achieve what his desire is for you. Because he wants you to experience the best he has for you in life. Just like we read two Sundays ago, David, the prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. But remember, they were complete. They were full. Why were they full? Because God gave David a full life. Did David have difficulties along the way? Yes. Did he suffer heartache and pain? Yes. Were there moments when David got off track of God's vision for his life? Yes. But did God get him back on track? Yes. Why? Because God is for him. And he could close his eyes on his deathbed with a full cup. You could do that. So I'm encouraging you. I'm taking time in my life. Things have settled down a little bit. And begin to look at these areas of my life. Lord, what do you have for me? Where do I want to be spiritually? Where do I want to be relationally? Where do I want to see finances? Vocationally, locationally, relationally. All these things. Where do you want me at? This time next year, what do you want to see my life looking like? And how are we going to get there? Because that gives me guidance. It gives me direction. And every day that I get up, I know what's out in front of me. I know the things that I have to do. I'm not wandering without restraint or aimless through life. And then at this time next year, I'll look back and see, how'd we do? Let's sit down and evaluate. How are we doing? It's not certainly not a time of beating yourself up because you failed or whatever. It's a time to be encouraged. It's a time to say what God did along the way to get me to where I am right now. And how he was faithful to keep his word. And then plot again. Where do we want to go next year, Lord? Where do we want to go? What do you want for me in my life? So I encourage you to do that. And we'll see next week how important and key it is, pitfalls and things along the way, as we begin to think about having vision for our life. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your desire to give to us a place, a goal of where you want us to go. And all of us in our lives today, as we sit in here, there have been things that have happened in our lives this last year, surprises, blessings, heartache, loss, gain, that cause us to be in a place right now that we thought, well, I never thought I'd be here at this moment, and I'm needing some direction and guidance. I'm needing to find out, okay, what's the next step? How do I move forward from here? Where do you want me to be? And Father, thank you that you desire more than anything in this world to show us that. And you have a purpose and you have a plan. So help us to have ears to hear, eyes to see what your best is for us, and then help us as we think through it to plot down how will we get there. And what your best route is for us to achieve these things. Because you want to bless us far beyond our wildest dreams. In Jesus' name, amen.